Live from the Richard Harris Law Firm studios and streaming at lvsportsnetwork.com.
In transition, here's Watt. Watt, stick check, drops it off. Hanifin scores!
This is the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, your source for exclusive interviews, access with the team, breaking news, and in-depth analysis.
Pearson centered, they score! Brett Howden, a hero again!
Here are your hosts, Darren Millard and Ryan Wallace.
Welcome in, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Las Vegas. Ryan Wallace, Darren Millard, Chris Chapman broadcasting live from the Richard Harris Law Firm studios. Richard Harris Law Firm, where they've won billions for their clients with their less fee guarantee. The Golden Knights, their season's on the line tomorrow in Game 5 against the Edmonton Oilers. How we doing, boys?
What's going on?
What do you mean, what's going on?
Why the down tone?
It wasn't down.
That was like very flat. Let's get some excitement going.
Season's on the line. You said it normally.
You can't just walk through with a flat approach today.
I'm not walking through with a flat approach to anything.
That was sleepwalking right there. Let's go. Don't be down.
I'm not down.
Ryan Wallace, we are going to start the wave right now. Okay?
Started the wave last night, buddy.
Let's go.
Come on.
Start it. All right. That's good. Now, Chapman, it's your turn. And there I got it. See, we're going all the way around the room. With the wave. I don't know why Chapman always struggles being the second guy with the wave. It's like, you know, as soon as
he didn't even put
Wallace,
his arms up. It's
as soon as Wallace starts, you get into it. So it's yep. Difficult. So we got to come out with some energy over the next 30 hours as we approach Game 5 tomorrow night. Let everybody know, from our fellow fans to the Strip, to the players, to the support staff, and the equipment managers and the medical staff, everybody's got to be feeling positive tomorrow, because I don't think they're as far off as last night felt.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that first period was tough to digest. There was so much emotion in that, and
sure,
the goals went all towards Edmonton. Mm-hmm. And then the Oilers tagged on and made it 3-0 early enough in the game where it felt like they're just it was out of reach early, and you were never really in the game. But then I wake up today and go through my assessment and all of my notes and rewatched the condensed game, and I'm like, you know what? They had 3 power plays in the first period.
Mm-hmm.
And didn't have a lot going on any of them. But if that's the norm and they get some good pressure or score a goal there, then they're right in it. If they're able to mount more of a push offensively in the second and third, you're right in the game. Like, it ends up 3-0, and it felt far much of a bigger gap than that. 3-0 isn't that bad of a game. Like, they scored 4 goals the other night.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
So
for sure.
I think we got to take a different view on it. Was it pretty last night? No.
No.
But was it as lopsided as it felt? I don't think so either.
Yeah, I mean, I have a hard time kind of coming around to the idea that it wasn't necessarily as lopsided as it felt, because it did feel like there wasn't a lot going on for the Golden Knights in any way, shape, or form offensively. Like
offensively,
you mentioned it.
Right.
Yeah, you mentioned it. 3 power play opportunities for the Golden Knights in the first period. They mustered 2 shots and only 5 shots on goal for the first 20 minutes. Like, where their power play had been such a factor for them throughout the entirety of the regular season, and certainly so far into the postseason, that was one of the aspects for me where, when that's not clicking and it's an opportunity for them to stop the bleeding and get back in the game and you know, do what they were able to do in game number 3 and erase the deficit, when it didn't happen, when it wasn't clicking, that was tough to watch. Now, from a defensive standpoint, it's another game where you get effectively nothing from Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl. So that's good. That's positive, obviously, for the Golden Knights. They have done a really good job through four games at shutting down those two players in particular, or at least minimizing the damage that they can create. However, offensively, I still think you're needing more, obviously, out of the Vegas Golden Knights coming off of that game number four.
Well, and they need something more from all four lines, all 12 forwards.
100%.
Offensively.
100%.
Defensively, they only allowed three goals. Mm-hmm. Now, Adin Hill was good.
Yep,
so
very good.
Could it have been more in favor of Edmonton? For sure.
Yeah.
But they only allowed three goals. And again, like you mentioned, the big guns were going. I have a real issue with some of the commentary taking place across North America today.
Okay.
That's pointed at the Oilers did a great job getting to Adin Hill. The Oilers were able to get into the paint and get Adin Hill off his game. The Oilers were able to have Adin Hill lose his composure and thus lose his focus.
Mm-hmm.
Adin pushed back.
Yeah.
Adin chopped back. Adin punched back in a way that we haven't seen Adin do consistently over a single period like that. Like he was full Billy Smith, Ron Hextall, Ed Belfour. Like he was in it last night. But don't tell me that Adin Hill lost his focus when it came to stopping the puck, because he was their best player last night.
He
can't be faulted on any of those goals last night, including the 2-on-1 that hit the skate. So if you want to say Adin Hill shouldn't be getting involved in extracurriculars, that's fine.
Yeah.
But don't tell me that the Oilers got to Adin Hill and knocked him off his game, because that's the furthest thing from the truth.
No, it was his best game of the series. Full stop, I think that game four was Adin Hill's best game of the series. Statistically, it'll tell you that. The numbers will tell you that. But I just thought that he was the most locked-in Vegas Golden Knight player on the ice all game last night for Vegas. And you know what? When you're a goaltender and there's a lot of bodies in front of you and there are players that are trying to encroach on your space in your crease, you have to stand your ground. You have to take command of that space, of that area. I did not mind whatsoever how involved Adin was getting early on in that first period. You need to show the Edmonton Oilers that if they come in there, they're going to get some pushback. They're going to pay a price. And then on top of that, Adin was fantastic the rest of the way. So I'm with you. They did not get him off of his game. If anything, that contact, that juice that Adin got from that first period carried through the rest of the game, and it only made him better as that game wore on.
I was surprised it didn't initiate more of a response for Vegas offensively.
Yeah, like, I agree.
Let's go. That's the part that stood out to me. The Golden Knights are back in Vegas. Just arrived a couple hours ago. Equipment's unpacked. They're ready to get back at it for Game 5, a must-win game tomorrow night at T-Mobile Arena. Bruce Cassidy has already met with the media. Here is his availability on the off day between Games 4 and 5, now trailing the series 3-1.
Yeah, Bruce, last night several players after the game talked about Edmonton's sense of urgency and your guys maybe not matching it. I guess, how could you get that back? And over the course of 3 games, how difficult is it to ramp it up not only once but 3 times?
Well, there's no maybe about it. They definitely had more urgency than us, especially early on. We weren't able to manage the puck, and if we didn't put out a fire when those things happen, so we end up chasing the game again, which is a bad formula. We got away with it the game 3, but you know that was the part to me that I was most disappointed in. I think you know we end up getting dragged into it a little bit, and you start pushing back. But you know, never materialized after that. You know, we had a chances on the power play to get ourselves back in the game. Weren't able to do that. So, this, what was the second part about?
I guess not only doing it once, but potentially having to do that three times.
Well, we did it the last year, right? We won three in a row. So we know we're capable in the room. You know, it's a stronger opponent. Obviously, they've been through a round, and we're able to do it four times in a row, so against L.A. So, but it's not easy this time of year, and I'm not fooling anybody when I wouldn't tell the guys it would be. It's hard to win. But, you know, if you start with one at home, a building we've typically played well in, so, I mean, it's a small picture right now, right? Take care of business tomorrow, be ready to play, see if you can get a lead by playing the right way, having more urgency than them, more desperation. That word now comes into play because it's it. If we don't win, we're done. So there needs to be somewhat level of that without taking you outside of your game and then go from there. That's it. It's cliche, but it is one game at a time. We have to win one game three times in a row. That's kind of what's in front of us.
Bruce, you've been down this road before facing elimination. Do you take the same approach, or do you have to tweak it slightly given what's at stake tomorrow night?
Well, I mean, it's a different animal than last time. We were up in the series, so if you lose the game, you got another chance. There's no more chances for us, so our guys are big boys. They understand that. They've been around. A lot of guys that have been through playoff runs before, so they're aware. You know, the level of execution, first of all, that's required. You know, a commitment to being focused and ready to play. Because if you get a lead, it can certainly make the game easier, right? It makes a tough run, Edmonton. They could be thinking, listen, I have no idea what their mindset will be, but if you have the lead, that, you know, sometimes when you have a series lead, you may say, oh, we got a chance to wrap it up at home. You never know. You got to create some doubt that way. So that's about getting your game first and in a hurry and staying at it longer.
Bruce, they lined up Draisaitl, Podolskin, and Kapanen against Eichel and Stone. Just what did they do against that line that kind of made them effective?
Well, I mean, they were physical. They had some physicality from Kapanen early on. He was new to the playoffs, so I think that gave the building some juice. That, listen, you're going to expect to get hit in the playoffs. You do have to match some of that physicality for sure. I think put goals and blocks, some key shots for them. One off Theo, I remember, on a face-off, there was another slot one, so he ate pucks. Draisaitl, I thought, played a good 200-foot game. Tried to, you know, to work above Jack and not allow him odd man rushes. So that's what they ended up doing. They didn't find the score sheet, but I think they did a good job of not allowing the people they played against to find the score sheet.
Bruce, is this a harder team, Edmonton, to get inside on, or is it something that you're doing or not doing?
Well, there are games when we don't create enough offense. That is a bit of our issue, is getting inside. They're doing a good job with that. I thought they blocked a lot of opportunities when we did get there to have a looks at the net. Like I said, I can remember some slot shots. I think it was Pav off a faceoff. Now Hurdle gets the rebound. I don't know if they blocked it or he got two saves. Howie was in the slot. We were off net with Dorofiev. He rushed a shot late. I think Hyman was coming. So there were some different situations where they did a good job with that. I don't think we executed well enough to put them on their heels to get inside for second and third chances. So that was somewhat on us. But they got to give them credit for, you know, the job they did. Don't remember a lot of odd man rushes where their D were caught out of position. So when they have a 2-0 lead, I think it's an easier sell to your team. Hey, you know, let's play risk-free hockey. Go when the opportunity dictates. Play the half-court O-zone game and get your offense from there. They did a good job with that.
Two real quick on Brandon Saad. Any update on him and potential to come back?
We'll find out more now that we're back. So I don't have an answer for you today whether he'll play tomorrow.
And then the other one is just, you had guys that made it back to the lineup that have been battling and really struggling last night, Stone, McNabb, those kind of guys. Like, did they come out okay, and how did you think they
Yeah, there's no secret they're a little banged up, but they've been through it. They're out there giving us what they got, so I have no issue with their game. I think there's some players in this series offensively that they need to, you know, sometimes it's a short sample size, but we're getting to game five. We have guys that haven't put up points, that scored a lot of goals for us this year in points. So it's time, right? So, you know, that's part of getting our offense going. The guys you've relied on all year to been consistently producing, it's time to produce.
Well, obviously it was a disappointing game, four loss, big shutout. But do you try to flush that? Do you still try to learn on that? Or when you're in this situation of having to win three straight, do you kind of flip over a new page?
Well, yes, you flip over a new page, but you don't flush anything this time of year. You got to take something from that game. And I think we've talked about it, the start. Their intensity was higher than ours. Their urgency was higher than ours. They created a early goal just with effort, turnover. They created a turnover below our goal line. We're not ready to defend the front of the net. Bang, bang, it's in the net. So that was just more urgency for them. Then it's obviously execution through the course of the game. Opportunity to make plays, finish plays. There was more of that as well. The second goal was, again, below the goal line where we didn't end a play. Got to the front of the net. We got outworked there. So those are the things that will be discussed and shown. This is playoff hockey. You got to win the slot battle. I've said that in October. You got to win the slot battle if you expect to win in this league. So we didn't win the slot battle last night.
Being down 3-1, you said last night that, you know, you would be involved in getting you're always involved in getting the team ready. But tomorrow in particular, what sort of tenor do you want to set right off from the beginning of tomorrow morning?
Listen, we're going to meet today and go through the game and, you know, listen, the tenor we have to set is we have to be better than them the first 10 minutes. So it's an urgency, intensity out of the gate, you know, and that, I think that's a no-brainer, to be honest. If they need me to tell me that, we're in trouble. So that's where it's going to start. Where I'm going to talk is about the dirty areas. We got to be better than them. So that will be the tactical part. As we gave up two goals right in front of our net where pucks came from below the goal line to the front, we've got to kill those plays. Be harder on the walls to begin with, or be better supporting when the puck does come to the front of the net. So that's a start. I think we'll discuss our power play. I think they gave us some opportunities in certain areas that we didn't take advantage of. So if we do get something early to give us juice, that's another area we can be better on. But it's the 5-on-5 game that has to be better for us. And it's, just being harder than them in the slot. Your question earlier, getting there and defending it. To me, that's where it starts and ends. And the rest of our game should be fine. I mean, we know how to play the game. Been around a while. Our structure, typically, when we have a lead, we tend to play well. So let's get the lead. And how are we going to do that? Well, that's it. Let's take care of the front of each net.
Your team's won a game in the series and was real close in game two as well. What will be the sort of the points of belief that you will work with your group?
Well, it was 3-3. I think it was a tie game with 3 minutes to go in game one, too. So there's three games in a row there that could have went either way. They could say they could have had them all, right? That's playoff hockey. Minnesota, we tipped it our direction. They were all close. So expect another close one tomorrow. How did we get over the hump in those other, in game two, we felt good enough to win. Well, we had a great start. So we got going and... was that the one? I can't remember now. Great. Jeez, I'm losing my memory now. We were up 2-0, but I don't know that our game was fantastic. But at the end of the day, the start is going to be important. And then I thought game three, we're just a better team. We're on top of them. We're faster. Races and battles, that's what it goes down to. I don't know. Like, you get down 3-1, Gary, there's no magic potion to sprinkle around the room and say, we're too far along as a team. There's a lot of guys in that room that won. They understand what's at stake. We got to play better, right? We just got to play harder. We got to play better for longer. And that's what's in front of us. And that's a little bit of will right now, right? Do they want to play on or not, right? We're going to find out tomorrow fairly quickly.
With elimination on the line, what's your message to the team just trying to balance, knowing what's at stake, elevating your game to keep this whole season alive?
I just said it. They know it. They know it's what's on the line. If they need me to walk in there and give them a rah-rah speech, then I think we're in trouble. Listen, we got to play harder and we got to play better for longer periods of time. And it would behoove us to be the better team in the first 10 minutes, because if we get going and get to our game, it'll give us confidence. We'll feel good about ourselves. And as I said, maybe it creates doubt in them that, I'll save it. I'll save it for the next game so that we can get it done at home. Now all of a sudden you got one in the bank, and that's how it starts. So that's a bit of the messaging, but that's how I'd look at tomorrow.
Before the series started, Aiden Hill was saying that he doesn't mind a little action around his crease, a little physicality. Is it a fine line?
Well, he got it last night.
Certainly he did, and I don't know if there's some concern there with his response, but I'm curious if there's a fine line between that and kind of going too far.
I don't have a problem with his response. You know, if he feels guys are in there and it's not getting called, then he'll have to take care of business himself. But where's the rest of our response, right? Like, he's, you know, if that should drag some people into it, and it did for a skirmish there for a minute, but we didn't go do the same thing at their end. So that's the part that has to be ensue after that. And then you need him to settle down and make saves to keep you in the game. So that's Aiden's job. But I don't mind a little emotion. It's playoff hockey. Just don't let it take you out of your game. And then the guys have to respond to that. That's your goaltender. It's your goaltender. And I'm sure there has something to do with, you know, Hurdle and into Pickard. You know, they decided that's how it's going to be. So it's up to us. It's a back and forth in the playoffs. So it's up to us to be hard in there, too. If that's going to be legal hockey, then go and play legal hockey in the top of their blue paint. But, you know, that's a decision we have to make tomorrow.
Bruce, Dorfeev went back on the top power play unit. You had Olofsson in there previously when Dorfeev couldn't go. Do you look at putting Olofsson back on the top unit, or how do you go about with your
problem? No, I mean, Pav's been there all year. It's a shooting spot. They both do a good job. In one way, it gets Pav missed time. Oldie's kind of into the series. Pav needs to get going, and usually scorers need scoring touches. So the plan behind that is let's get him going. He had some good looks. He shot the puck well. One great chance was off net. A couple they saved. So he would probably start there. We need him to get going. Right now he's only played two games. He's a young guy. There's some older guys there that need to pull him in along. You know, some of the guys that play in his line and get going here offensively, so they, you know, they can start feeling better about themselves. And now all of a sudden you're more than just, well, we'll shut down the Eichel line, because that's a bit what happened. Their depth outplayed ours, so we need to flip the script there.
Early in the game, but do you feel like not scoring on those three power plays in the first period, not getting the offense you needed, does that kind of set the tone for how the rest of the game?
A little bit. You know, we've been good on the power play. We've had very timely goals this year, including the Minnesota series, so that hurt yesterday. That was an opportunity for us to calm them down a little bit, you know, and sort of say, hey, we'll hurt you in the power play if that's the, you know, you're going to play reckless hockey. But that didn't happen, and it gives them a lot of confidence because their PK numbers, now maybe it's been better than their numbers. I've said that about ours all along, but it gives you confidence. Now you've killed three penalties at home. You got the lead. You're feeling really good about every part of your game. So we could have put a dent in there, and we didn't.
Bruce Cassidy, upon arriving back after the trip home from Edmonton following the split against the Oilers in Alberta, 3-1 Edmonton leads. Anything jump out at you in listening to Bruce? 24 hours, sort of taking a step back and Bruce being able to just react to the situation?
Yeah, I mean, I think the emotion from Bruce Cassidy was pretty much front and center, right? Like, I think he's, you know, he understands what's ahead for this team. He understands the level that they need to get to, play better, play harder for longer stretches of time. Very, very simple messaging from Bruce Cassidy there. Obviously, you know, I think the part on Aiden Hill, and, you know, obviously the response from Aiden was fantastic. You like to see that. Then he went out and did his job, but there wasn't a big response from the Golden Knights getting and making Stuart Skinner uncomfortable at the top of the paint either. So I think kind of touching on those two things and understanding with a veteran group that they know what they're up against, they know where they need to be better. Now it's just a matter of going out there and getting it done.
Have to play harder and mm-hmm. better for longer. And
yep.
If everybody's waiting for a big rah-rah, let's go get them speech, you got to find another avenue, because that's not what is going to get it done. Speeches are nice, mm-hmm. but execution on the ice is what's going to take care of this thing, and Vegas has to be better for longer tomorrow and they have to play harder. And that goes from the first period. Try and get that lead. That it happened early in the series. You weren't able to capitalize on it, but make Edmonton chase you a little bit and be assertive. That's what I'm looking forward to tomorrow night. Don't face elimination much in that building. And I think it's going to be a different crowd. A lot of times elimination games at home can have a nervous energy. I think this is going to be fun tomorrow night. Like, I think the crowd's going to be fired up for it. Let's get the league-wide opinion. John Shannon from the podcast 100% Hockey. And we had a special guest yesterday relating to the Vegas Golden Knights. We'll talk about that when we continue on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Hello, Canada, and hockey fans in the United States and Newfoundland.
On the ice at Madison Square Garden, New York meets Montreal in the world's fastest game.
It is officially on. A nice, gentle game full of battered shins, cracked skulls, broken arms, tangled legs, and nosedives.
He used to have the most important job in Canada. Now he's willing to give us a few minutes. It's time to chat with John Shannon.
Going to change my approach this week. Get right into it with John Shannon instead of a big lead up and then a question. Because last week I had this wonderful introduction, but you couldn't hear me.
And no, I can hear you now. Not.
Okay.
In fact, I heard you before the break. Forget about Cassidy giving the speech. You should go in and give the speech. That was quite some speech you gave before the break.
Thank you. I'm fired up.
Well, I didn't say it would work, but it was quite some speech.
I'm excited. I think this is – sometimes you got to be dragged into it, and they got no choice now. You want to compete or you're going to win. That there's differences in that. A player once told me that. Do we want to compete or are we in it to win? And the Golden Knights have that championship pedigree. I think you're going to see a team that wants to win tomorrow night.
Okay, so here's the big problem, and I agree with you for the most part.
I don't like big problems.
Okay, so here's the big problem. Henderson, Millard, Shannon. How many goals do we have in this series?
Well, you and I don't have any.
So the answer is zero. Okay.
Okay.
Unfortunately, that's the same as Eichel, Barbashev, and Hurdle.
Yeah. Well, Eichel had a 6-game point streak going into last.
No. You heard what Bruce said.
Yeah. You're right.
The
big boys got to lead.
The big boys have to lead. Hurdle, Eichel, Barbashev. No goals. That's the issue. That's what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to score. So that if Eichel, Barbashev, and Hurdle are on the board tomorrow, then, you know, it's going to be a great game.
Now, Barbashev had that great chance in the first period.
Yeah. Oh, no, well, and then the other one is that after, you know, being okay on the power play for the first three games to be 0-3 on the power play in the first period.
First period.
That to me was that was the death knell for that game. It wasn't necessarily the Oilers doing what the Oilers did, but the Golden Knights did it to themselves.
Would you go after Edmonton the way they came out and were physically active in the first period in game four?
I think you have to be physical in the playoffs.
But Edmonton was very assertive yesterday.
Yeah, but I would argue that I think at times the Golden Knights were assertive. I think what Nick Hague did to Trent Frederick was assertive.
Yeah, the pushback was great. I like that.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, you like that kind of thing. But I think that there has to be a level of physical play in the playoffs. And that's, in many ways, that's the biggest difference for the Edmonton Oilers. And people have been saying it all along, wait until Evander Kane and Trent Frederick get in the lineup. And that truly is what happens. And so that's how that's in many ways how this series has changed, because the Oilers have been that much more physical. But Bruce is right. Get off to the right start. And part of the right start is to be successful when you have the man advantage.
I think
and they weren't able to do that last night. And so, you know what? That's the type of thing. We know that momentum doesn't get carried over from game to game. That can change quite quickly.
Clear the floor for Ryan Wallace after I make a point that it's a very different game.
I meant Ryan Wallace. I'm sorry, I apologize.
I sort of knew what you were talking about. When Evander Kane is being proactive instead of reactive, it's a very different game. Now, it's a fine line trying to push those buttons with him, but I would go out of my way to put him on the back foot instead of having the confidence that he can run around and do what he wants.
I think Alex Pietrangelo tried that before last night, but last night was more Kane on Pietrangelo than Pietrangelo on Kane. And obviously there's some great rivalry there too, right? Obviously.
Yeah.
It must go, and I'm thinking it almost could go back all the way back to San Jose versus St. Louis.
Well, I think it does.
Yeah.
People don't forget about Evander Kane.
When you talk about rivalries, and that's the nature of playoff hockey.
If you're looking at this from the Golden Knights' perspective, where's the concern level, understanding that there hasn't been that marquee game from McDavid and Draisaitl yet in the series, and they've got a 3-1 lead?
I would argue that they've already shown what happens when you get the marquee level, and that was the overtime victory. Hmm. You know, you saw what happened is that, you know, Draisaitl and McDavid treaded water for three periods, and then boom, you know, time for them to contribute. They contribute, and it's a 2-0 series. You know, this is the one thing that I'm sure Bruce never wanted to see was Chris Knobloch saying, okay, Leon, you got your own line. Connor, you got your own line. Because if you have them both on the same line, in theory, you have them for half the time on the ice. You know, 23, 24 minutes versus 46 or 47. And so that's the real, that's the biggest difference, I think, right now. The balance that the Oilers forwards have created. They don't need McDavid to be explosive all the time. They don't need Draisaitl to be explosive all the time. So when you have the Eichel line, who was much better at doing their jobs in Vegas on those two guys when they played together, it was a lot different when then you saw Draisaitl's line go against Eichel's line, and then all of a sudden Connor McDavid's line is a little less marked by the big dogs in Vegas. So it's one of those things that it's a pick your poison. But what you're never going to stop McDavid completely. You can try to control him, and you're never going to stop Draisaitl completely. I thought, as Bruce said, I thought Leon Draisaitl last night was really good all over the ice. And so they didn't need his scoring, but they certainly had his involvement.
Vegas is down 3-1, a division winner during the regular season. It's the same situation for the Washington Capitals. Are you surprised at what Carolina's been able to do in that set? And is it a foregone conclusion that Washington will eventually fight their way back?
No, they will not fight their way back. And here's something fascinating. Spencer Carberry said something fascinating after game three. He said, we have difficult times coming from behind. They're just not built that way. And that was an eye-opener to me when he said that. So all of a sudden, Carolina's got a 1-0 lead, and then what, you can't come back from the 1-0 lead? We all know how hard the Carolina Hurricanes work because they work the same way in the regular season. The one thing that they've never had in the playoffs is fill in the gap. What's the one thing they've never had?
They've never had the game breaker.
Okay, what's the two things they've never had?
Goaltending?
Healthy
yes.
goaltending?
Yeah.
Healthy goaltending. Freddie Anderson right now is really good. And that changes the whole dynamic of what's gone on. He's, you know, they've never had the game breaker. You're right. And that still may become an issue. But right now, Freddie Anderson has become the real deal for them as long as he stays healthy. You know, he didn't stay healthy the last round. He's healthy this round.
Are you are you impressed or disappointed that I got that question on two tries?
Actually, I'm more impressed that you got your because your first answer is something I've been yelling about for all year about them and having a game breaker. So that's pretty good, though.
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's where I thought you were going.
You might be listening a little more these days.
I hear you. But am I listening to
you? That's right.
They're healthy. Their healthy goaltender might be their game breaker in that regard. Talking about goalies, Anthony Stolarz was on the ice earlier today for the Leafs in practice. How do you see things playing out with Toronto in how they manage goaltenders after Joseph Woll had a fantastic performance, just didn't get any run support in game number four?
Well, I don't think Stolarz is completely ready yet, so I think it'll be Joseph Woll. I mean, he made 35 unbelievable saves in my mind in game four. He was the only reason they were in the game at that point. But you're just going to need a lot more from the regular guys. You're going to need, you know, they've got a guy who's on their third line, 20 goal scorer, hasn't scored in 20 games. And Bobby McMahon, you know, Marner, Nylander, Matthews, Tavares, they have to be better.
Does it get nasty? Do you think it spills over into game five?
Well, I think nasty Florida wins. You know,
so do
I. Florida's great at nasty. Mm-hmm. Florida is great at nasty.
I think Toronto poked the bear, and it's going to be interesting to see how they respond to the roar when it comes out.
Do not bring a knife to a gunfight. Mm. And that's exactly what Toronto might be in trouble with, if they bring in the knife to the gunfight.
Hmm. Remember Indiana
Jones? The Max Domi hit at the end of the game was cheap. But at the same time, you know, can the Maple Leafs be as close to being physical with the Panthers? And if they can, great. If they can't, then it's over in six.
Indiana Jones, Temple of Doom. Don't bring a gun to a knife fight.
Don't bring a knife to a gun fight.
What did I say?
Correct.
What did I say?
Oh, boy.
What did I say, John?
You said don't bring a gun to a knife fight.
Yeah, that's true. You shouldn't do that. I just wanted to make sure you guys were listening again. Hey, okay.
I was listening, but I wasn't hearing you.
I want to let people know we had the podcast yesterday, and we like to talk about different people that we chat with. Yesterday, we had one of my favorite people on with us, and you'd never met him before.
No.
Alec Martinez.
We're best friends now. Best friends.
You are. Brother. You're going wake surfing with Marty up in Torts Lake in Michigan.
Northern Michigan.
So what did you learn from one of the coolest dudes around?
Far too smart to be a hockey player, far too smart to be on our podcast. he was engaging. He was sincere. He was honest. You know, let's face it, there are some days he's having a tough time understanding that he's now retired. And not many people are that open and honest about life changes like that. Now, I don't think he has to worry about, you know, his retirement, but it was one of those ones where you didn't want the conversation to end because you knew you could throw anything out and he could respond. Mm-hmm. and that was kind of cool.
And he wants to come back on.
Well, he'll be back on. He'll be back on. When are you not available? Because I may need a co-host.
I was intrigued by how much he's still talking and in contact with that group with the Vegas Golden Knights, not just the core defenseman who's got like incredible relationship with, but the whole team. Like there's still a mentorship link, as unofficial as it is, there with this current team.
I think what it spoke to, Darren, more than anything, and this is not a public service announcement for the Vegas Golden Knights, because I don't work for the team. But what it speaks to the culture that has been created in Vegas for the hockey community. I think it speaks of the respect and the love that they have for each other, and the honor of being a part of the band of brothers. You know, he wasn't a misfit, but you know he showed up in time to be part of that championship pedigree of that hockey club, the Golden Knights, by bringing his own championship pedigree. What really impressed me more than anything was how much he appreciates everything that went into creating the franchise in Las Vegas. And I was blown away by that, because this is a guy that has now played for three teams. I think he loved his time in Los Angeles. I think he appreciated that last, you know, kick of the cat in Chicago. But I truly think there was something special for him in his time in Las Vegas.
Yeah, we haven't even
touched. Don't you? Don't you think that?
It was like a big flashing neon sign.
Yeah, it oozed out of him every time he talked about the people he talks to, the life that was created in Vegas, the whole community in Summerlin, the whole thing that worked and has worked so well, and which has made Vegas the model franchise of expansion in every sport, not just hockey.
And the fact that he gave us an hour of his time, and he and Emily have two kids under 4.5 months was the most amazing.
Well,
thing.
And even the story of how they ended up with, you know, two children 4.5 months apart is fascinating to listen to.
And honest,
if you can't do the math, that's not supposed to happen.
Nope. I'm trying to think of the different chuckles that we had, but there was a few during that.
People are supposed to listen to the show and have the chuckles with us. So.
Good point. 100% Hockey, the podcast.
By the way, Jim Montgomery, the coach of the St. Louis Blues, on tomorrow. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I like how I find these things out live on radio.
Well, I'm saying that just before I say goodbye, but I got to say hello to my good friend George McPhee.
Okay.
It's not a game day. He's probably, you know what he's probably doing? He's probably at the house, and in Canada we would say he's barbecuing. Okay, he's out there barbecuing. But I'm going to do it the American way. I'm going to say he's out there grilling.
I didn't know there was a difference between that, but now that you say it, there is.
We moved to Minnesota. And I said, well, I'm going to have a barbecue. And they said, what does that mean? I said, well, I got my barbecue. I said, oh, you were going to have grilling. So you're going to grill. I said, I'm having a barbecue. So, but anyway, that's what you do. In America, you grill. In Canada, you barbecue.
That's funny. It never clicked that there was a difference.
Am I right?
You're
yes.
Right on.
Yeah. It's always going out to grill, for sure.
You're going out to grill. Yeah.
Ryan Henderson.
The only grill, that to me would have been having a grilled cheese. But that's okay.
How did Chapman do this week?
You know what? He was overrun by that Sean Rourke and that Lawless guy at the thing.
Yeah, he was.
They dominated today. So.
Yeah, he's got to stand up and be more assertive himself.
But I got to give Cassidy credit. At least he called Lawless by his first name.
Yeah. I'm not sure that I want that.
Of course you want that. Are you kidding me? Every writer wants their name when, you know, I mean, every press conference, if somebody says, well, you're right, Darren, you've heard that a little bit. You have never heard that.
Not today.
Particularly at home.
We're going to get him tomorrow night. We're going to get him.
Oh, yeah. Here goes. Win one for the duck.
Mallard got it.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Bring me in, Bruce. Bruce
is going to make the speech.
Leaving everything out there.
Oh, my God.
We'll talk to you tomorrow morning.
Cheers.
See you, buddy. There's John Janum from 100% Hockey. Catch things up on time when we continue, plus tee up hour number two on Fox Sports Las Vegas. We have a giveaway to come. We'll update you on the game that is taking place tonight in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And is this the proper term? His Excellency? We have a very special guest coming up in hour two. You do not want to miss this. It's Fox Sports Las Vegas.